So for these deities, I would like to share with you briefly the story of how Radharani came to Vrindavan. Janava Devi, after the Khetri festival of Narottam Das Thakur, she came with an entourage of great souls to Vrindavan. Sri Jiva Goswami welcomed her. She went to Radha Kund, where she met with Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. She would go to each of the deities and render service to them. She would cook for them. She would offer them jewels and clothing, like a mother. At that time, she was the senior most worshipable Vaishnav in our whole sampradaya, after Lord Nityananda, her consort, had left. Janava Devi, just before leaving Vrindavan, the night before, she went to all the deities, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Vinod, Radha Govinda, Madan Mohan, Radha Shyam Sundar. Then she went to Gopinath. And there was a little tiny deity of Radharani next to Gopinath. Janava Devi was thinking that this deity of Radharani is too small in comparison to Gopinath. Then she thought, who am I to decide how big Radharani is? She appeared in this way. So she didn't say anything to anyone. She watched the Shayana Darshan, and then she went to take rest. As she was sleeping, Gopinath appeared to her and spoke, "What you said is true. Radharani is too small for me. I want you to make another Radharani that's appropriate to my size." And then Srimati Radharani appeared to her and said, "Whatever Gopinath has said is true. Whatever Gopinath said is also what I believe. So make another deity of Radharani. Put her on the left side, and you could put me on the right side." So Janava Devi awoke. She went back to Karadaha on the bank of the Ganga in Bengal, where she resided. And she found one expert pure devotee named Nayana, who was a sculptor. And she told him exactly the dimensions and everything about the features of how to make Srimati Radharani. And Nayana, under Janava's personal direction, carved the murti. Then she put the deity on a boat and called for some of Nityananda's personal associates, including Parameshwar. And she gave, I think, 700 gold coins and all sorts of silks that she collected from others, and wonderful gifts for all the deities in Vrindavan. And that boat was going to sail up the Ganges to Prayag, then up to the Jamuna, all the way to Vrindavan. It was a very, very historical event. As she stood at the dock of, or at the bank of the river, and she prayed to Gopinath in Vrindavan, that, "Please, Gopinath, I pray to you, allow your Radharani to have a safe journey to your lotus feet." And with that prayer, the boat departed. She sent a message to Navadvip, where all the devotees there met the boat and had a festival. She sent another messenger to Katwa, and there Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and all the great Vaishnavas of that area, Gadadhar, they all came together and had a big festival for many days for Radharani. They were bringing gifts for all the deities in Vrindavan. And the love of the devotees together, there were hundreds of them, just chanting, dancing, Harikatha, feasting. And King Birambir, a disciple of Srinivasacharya, who at one time was a king of dacoits, when he saw the loving exchanges amongst all the devotees, he was struck with wonder. His heart was utterly transformed just to see the loving exchanges of the Vaishnavas. It is very true. We have such a glorious philosophy. We have such a glorious culture. But what will really bring all of these divine gifts deep into people's hearts is when they see devotees in loving relationships with each other. Because in this world, there is so much envy, there is so much conflict. And even when there's relationships, they're based on such selfish principles so often. When people can see devotees of all different castes, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Malechyas, Yavanas from birth, people from religions of the past, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, Jain, Parsi, people who are black or white or red or yellow, people who are educated and people who are illiterate, people who are from America or Russia, India or Pakistan, Africa, Australia, South America. This was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dream. All these different kinds of people coming together in Sri Mayapur Dham, completely immersed in a family of brothers and sisters chanting the holy name. No consideration of these external, superficial designations. Sarva padiva nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhaktaruchyate. By worshipping Rishikesh, the Lord of our senses, we rise above all these upadis, all these external designations. I remember once at Radha Gopinath Temple, Krishna Chandra Prabhu was dancing like this with his driver. I don't think anyone in India has ever seen this, at least in the last 500 years. It was no... One may be the employer and one may be the employee in the occupational consideration. But as Vaishnavas, there's no barrier. They're brothers. That's all. Dancing together as equals. And I remember seeing several people crying. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. This is not possible. Not in India. People become devotees when they see things like this. People will believe in our philosophy. It works. It's an experience. Yes, it's the loving relationships of devotees. In all circumstances, even in the most even in tribulation, in success or failure, we're bound together by our unified desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're kind and compassionate and forgiving to each other on that basis. Yes, when people see that experience in our temples, in our yatras, their hearts will melt. They will accept, yes, Krishna consciousness is for real. It works. King Birambir witnessed the loving exchanges of the devotees chanting and dancing and serving together with Krishna in the center. And ultimately that boat came here to Vrindavan, where there was a big festival. All the Goswamis, all the temples, all the Brijabasis, they all went to the Yamuna to greet Srimati Radharani. And in a wonderful procession, they brought her to the temple of Gopinath Dev and installed him on her left side. Took the little deity and put her on the right side. It's a wonderful festival. And years later, Janava Devi returned to Vrindavan to see her Radharani on the side of Gopinath. And it is said that she personally entered into the small deity, who from that time is worshipped as Radharani's little sister, Ananga Manjari, who was Janava Devi's eternal swarup in Goloka Vrindavan. Should I continue? You are very polite. Thank you. The son of King Prataparudra was named Purushottam Jana. He very much wanted Srimati Radharani to be manifest on the left side of Madan Mohan and Govindaji. So he arranged for two wonderful deities of Srimati Radharani to be sent to Vrindavan. When they arrived, there was a great festival. Everyone was anticipating. Sri Radharani will now be standing for us to see beside Madan Mohan and Govindaji. But the night before the installation, the pujari of Madan Mohan temple had a dream. In that dream, the deity of Srimati Radharani appeared to him and said, "This other deity, it's not me. This other deity is Lalita Sakhi." And Lalita Sakhi should be installed on the opposite side of Madan Mohan from myself. So the pujari humbly explained this to everyone the next morning. And everyone was blissful. They all believed him. So they had a grand installation to welcome Sri Radharani and Sri Lalita Sakhi on the altar of Sri Madan Mohan. Purushottam Jana was very happy, but he was thinking, still, Govindaji is without Radharani's deity beside him. What should I do? Many days passed, and he had a dream. Would you like to hear the dream? In that dream, the deity of Lakshmi, that's who was within the Jagannath temple, appeared to him and said, "Everyone thinks I'm Lakshmi, but actually I'm not Lakshmi. I'm Radharani. And you should send me to Vrindavan to be beside Govindadev." Now the Bhakti Ratnakar describes the history of this Lakshmi deity. Sometime before, in Orissa, there was a village, Radha Nagar. There, a great devotee from South India named Brihad Bhanu was worshipping a deity of Srimati Radharani. He had Vatsalya Ras. He worshipped Srimati Radharani as his own daughter with so much love. It is explained that he would be in utter distress if even a second went by without seeing Srimati Radharani. Absolute attachment for her. He couldn't live without seeing her, without serving her. He worshipped her with pure love until he departed from this world. He had no children, and there was no one to take over the deity seva. When the king of Orissa came down, he heard about this deity and he heard about the great pure devotion of Brihad Bhanu. He personally went down to see the deity. But he was wondering, there's no one here to worship her anymore. So he brought her back to Puri and put her on the altar and worshipped her as Sri Radha. But as the years went on, somehow or other, I guess somebody decided she was Lakshmi. And then the word spread, she's Lakshmi. And as the years went by, everyone accepted she's Lakshmi. So she was worshipped as Lakshmi for generations, until she approached Purushottam Jana and revealed her true identity. So he sent Srimati Radharani to the side of Govindaji. Now I'm going to go back some years. The day that Rupa Goswami discovered Govindadev under the ground, he was so excited. He wrote a letter to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that letter, he expressed how Govindadev has revealed himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He looked at his own servant, Kashishwar Pandit, and said, "You should go to Vrindavan and assist Rupa Goswami in the worship of Govindadev." Now Kashishwar Pandit was one of the two personal servants of Lord Chaitanya. Ishwarapuri had two servants, personal servants, Govinda and Kashishwar. Before Ishwarapuri departed from this world, he instructed Govinda and Kashishwar to be the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya returned from Puri, Govinda came and expressed his desire to serve. "It is the order of our Guru Maharaj." Lord Chaitanya was hesitant. He turned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, "How could this be? They are my god brothers. Not only my God brothers, but the exalted God brothers of mine who have served my Guru Maharaj personally. How can I accept service from them? Please tell me, what should I do? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought about it. He said, according to etiquette, it is true, you should not accept personal servant from your God brothers. But the first consideration is the order of the spiritual master. Your Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, has ordered them to serve you. The order of the Guru is all powerful and it takes precedent over all other forms of etiquette. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Govinda as his servant. Kashishwar Pandit was going to some holy places and after some time he returned. He was very strong in his body. In Krishna consciousness, we engage devotees according to their natural propensities. Because he was so strong, his service for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was whenever Lord Chaitanya would be dancing in ecstasy, Kashishwa Pandit would personally keep the crowds away from disturbing his dancing. And whenever Lord Chaitanya would go through crowds on the way to Jagannath Temple, Kashishwa Pandit would clear the way before him and make a pathway. Now I'm sure the way he did it was very gracefully and very gently. Not, get out. Swami's coming, out of the way. Not like that. Very humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, but still, with all of his strength, he would, without offending anyone, he would make the pathway and keep the devotees away from Lord Chaitanya's transcendental dance. So here he was, day and night, personally serving Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya saying, go to Vrindavan. Kashishwar Pandit's heart was broken. My Lord, how can you send me away from you for any reason? Lord Chaitanya was sympathetic. He had a small deity made. A deity of himself. It's Krishna playing a flute. But Lord Chaitanya said, this deity is not different than me. Place him at the feet of Govindadev. And whenever you worship me in the form of this deity, you will see me eating the prasad. You will feel my presence. You will always know that I am with you. That deity's name is Gaur Govinda. Kashishwar Pandit was the first person in history to bring the deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the western provinces of India. And here he worshipped Govinda Dev with Sri Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan town. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was from Srirangam in South India. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srirangam, he danced in front of the deity of Ranganath and attracted thousands and thousands of people to join the kirtan of the holy names. One Brahmin, Pujari, of the name Venkata Bhatta, invited Lord Chaitanya to his home and convinced the Lord that it is now the rainy season, Chaturmasya, and it is the tradition for sannyasis to remain in one place. Please, for the next 4 months, stay with me. because Venkata Bhatta pleaded with such love and devotion, the Lord accepted. He washed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and then drank the water and gave the water to his little son who was about 7 years old. His name was Gopal Bhatta. Lord Chaitanya had two brothers, Prabodhananda Saraswati and Trimala Bhatta. All of them lived together for the next 4 months in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Little Gopal Bhatta did every type of menial service to the Lord. He would massage him. He would bring him whatever little articles he would want. He couldn't give up the association of the Lord. In fact, on the first moment when the Lord arrived in his house, when Gopal Bhatta drank the Charanamrita of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell unconscious in ecstasy of love. And from that moment, he could not give up the association of Lord Chaitanya. The love of his heart was growing and growing and growing at every moment. One day, it came to his mind how unfortunate he was that he never was given the opportunity to see Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvip Leela, where he's the husband of the goddess of fortune, where he is his opulent, cascading black hair is flowing up over his shoulders, where he's bedecked with precious jewels and gold, and he's wearing a wonderful golden dhoti, and he's amongst his most intimate associates of the spiritual world performing Nam Sankirtan. I was never fortunate to see the Lord as the supreme enjoyer. For the sake of rescuing the conditioned souls of this world, my Lord has performed the horrible austerity of becoming a sannyasi, sleeping on the ground, begging for food, shaving his hair, wearing this drab saffron color. How could I bear living seeing my Lord in the renounced order? How I long to see my Lord as the moon of Navadvip. Many days passed, and he was obsessed with this thought, weeping tears. Then one night, he had a dream. He was in Navadvip. And there, he saw Sri Gauranga as Navadvip Chandra with his beautiful long hair, Malati flowers decorating it, dancing amongst his devotees. And there was Nityananda and Advaita. And Nityananda and Advaita both stopped him and was about to say something in his ears, and the dream disappeared. Gopal Bhatta couldn't bear the separation of what he had just seen. Immediately upon awakening, he ran to where Lord Chaitanya was sitting, and he fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And then he looked up, and he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud. His eyes stretched practically to his ears like lotus flowers. He was holding a flute. He had a peacock feather in his crown, Kastuba Mani and Vajayanti garland of forest flowers of Braja. He saw the beautiful form, of Muralidhar. Krishna. And he fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu weeping and weeping. And then he looked up and he saw Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi with shaved head. The Lord fulfilled all his desires. In this way, Gopal Bhatta lived for 4 months totally engrossed 24 hours a day in the loving service of Gauranga. And how his uncles and his father and him relished those days. They only had one anxiety, that the rainy season would end and Sri Gaurasundar would leave them. When that day came, previous Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed all of them from devotees of Lakshmi Narayan to devotees of Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. The Lord departed and instructed Gopal Bhatta to accept Prabodhananda Saraswati as his guru and to serve his mother and father with great love and attention until they depart from the world. And then Lord Chaitanya told him, at that time you should go to Vrindavan and live as a brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami for the rest of your life. This was wonderful, because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the physical plane had never met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami at this time. Of the Goswamis, the first he met was Raghunath Das Goswami, and then he met Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed. Prabodhananda Saraswati taught the scriptures to his nephew. And soon Gopal Bhatta became such a scholar that his fame was being spread throughout all of India. But most of all, his humble, his gentle, and his loving qualities enchanted everyone's hearts. When Venkata Bhatta and his wife were about to leave the world, they blessed Gopal Bhatta and said, now you go to Vrindavan and you serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission with your life and soul. And they departed for Goloka. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he went to Vrindavan. In his heart of hearts, he must have wanted to go to Puri. But real association, we find our guru and we find the Supreme Lord most intimately wherever we follow their instruction. This is a common theme in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas. When he arrived, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami wrote a letter to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees, and one day he said to them, it has been a long time. I have received no news from Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan. Just when he said that, a messenger came in the room and said, I have a letter from Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Now please understand, it wasn't that there was air mail or Bombay mail. If you wanted to send a letter to someone, you had to find someone who was willing to walk to that place and personally deliver it. That was the postal system. Devotee went, and he gave the message to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who read it. He said, "You will be very happy to know that our dear brother Gopal Bhatta has come from South India, and now we are together serving you as brothers." Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He sent gifts to the Goswamis. To Gopal Bhatta, he sent his own kopan and the wooden seat that he would sit on to perform his puja. When Gopal Bhatta received those gifts, tadit, he worshipped them as the Lord himself. He saw no difference between that seat and that kopan and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and told him to visit the river Gandaki in the Himalayas. Gopal Bhatta took the pilgrimage to the high Himalayas. There in the Gandaki, he put his pot in the water to bathe himself. And when he pulled it out, there were 12 shalagram shilas in the pot. So he gently put the shilas back in the water. Then he went again, put the bucket in the water, and pulled it up, and the same 12 shalagram shilas were in his bucket again. He placed them back in the river, put the bucket again in the river to get the water, and the shilas were again in the bucket. So he was thinking that these shalagram shilas must want to go to Vrindavan. So he brought them to Vrindavan. He worshipped them. All the other Goswamis were worshipping, or many of the other Goswamis were worshipping the deity of the Lord. For the festival of Lord Narasimhadev, when wealthy devotee came and offered garments and jewels to all the Goswamis' deities, and he also gave to Gopal Bhatta. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in his heart of hearts, was thinking, if only I had a deity in threefold bending form, I could render so much more service by offering so many more beautiful gowns and crowns and flutes and so many other articles of devotion. On the day of Lord Narasimha, he prayed to the Lord, "O Lord Narasimha Dev, O Krishna, O Krishna, just as you appeared in a manifested form from a stone pillar, please manifest your threefold bending form from the shalagram shila." Reading the beautiful pastimes of Prahlad and Narasimha, he was in ecstasy and fell unconscious. When he woke up, he went to the next morning, he went to the Yamuna to take his bath, and when he returned, one of his shilas, the Damodar shila, had grown into the form of Sri Radha Raman. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was in ecstasy. He called Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. They all came. And there, they were struck with wonder. Krishna, in his threefold bending form, was playing on his flute with a wonderful smile on his face. All the Goswamis unanimously agreed that all the principal deities of Vrindavan are manifest in this one deity. Madan, he has Madan Mohan's feet, Govindadev's hands, and Gopinath's face. All of our three Murtis have come in one form. And because he appeared in Midubhan, where Lord Krishna decorates Srimati Radharani's hair with flowers and jewels, and serves her in so many ways, and where Radharani gives her life, her soul, her everything for the pleasure of Krishna. The Goswamis named him Radharaman, he who gives pleasure to Sri Radha. There was a great festival. Every year, the day after Narasingha Chaturdasi, there's the grandest of all festivals of Radharaman temple, his appearance day, even today. The years went by as Gopal Bhatta worshipped Radharaman as his life and soul. But one day he was feeling guilty. It was Lord Chaitanya that delivered me. And Lord Chaitanya told me to follow my father's direction, and my father gave me the order to serve Lord Gauranga. But I'm serving Krishna. So he was feeling some emptiness. But Radharaman knew his heart. And while he was thinking that, right before his eyes, the deity of Radharaman manifested the form of Lord Gauranga and smiled upon him and blessed him. Just to assure Gopal Bhatta Goswami that by serving Radharaman, he is fulfilling the mission of his life by directly worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Years later, when Srinivas Acharya came to Vrindavan to take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta brought Srinivas Acharya before Radharaman, and he said to the deity, "Please accept him, he is yours. On your behalf, I will teach him." This is the mood of a Vaishnav. Whoever we are, nothing is ours. Even if we are the greatest Paramhamsas, even the greatest gurus of our Sampradaya, they did not think my disciple, but they offered the devotee to the lotus feet of Radharaman, Radha Vinod, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. They worshipped the devotee to the lotus feet of their guru. This is the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will also visit the temple of Radha Damodar. It's becoming late. Should I end here? It's the most enthusiastic I've heard you since. Should I continue? So, Jiva Goswami, the son of Anupam, was the nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. From his earliest childhood, it is explained that when his uncles and his father met Lord Chaitanya and Ramakali and surrendered to him, Jiva Goswami secretly left home and from a little distance watched How many of you have been to Ramakeli? Please raise both of your hands and say Hari Bol. We went on a yatra to Ramakeli not long ago. It seems like we're overdue for another yatra to Ramakeli. Unbelievable place. When Lord Chaitanya was sitting under that tamal tree and Rupa and Sanatana and Anupam surrendered their lives to him and he placed his foot on their heads, little Jiva Goswami was standing at a distance watching. He was a very small boy. But from that time he fell in love with the Lord. And soon after that his father Anupam went back to Godhead. And from that point, he was in the pangs of separation from Rupa and Sanatana. He loved Krishna and Balaram spontaneously. In Ramakeli, he saw Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And the effect of seeing them was so deep, he developed spontaneous love for Krishna Balaram. He had deities of Krishna Balaram. Little child, while all the other people were playing, I don't know what they played, but all the other children were playing so many games. The only game he knew was seva to Krishna Balaram. He would pick flowers for them, make garlands for them, sew clothes for them, bring boga for them, dance for them, chant for them, pray for them, everything for them. And when he would go to sleep at night, he would tightly embrace them to his chest. He couldn't give up his deities. They were his life, his soul, his everything. But he was always longing to meet Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan. One night he had a dream. In that dream, he saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He surrendered to them. And then right before his eyes, Lord Chaitanya turned into his deity of Krishna. And Lord Nityananda turned into his deity of Balaram. From that point on, he was in so much separation, people didn't know what to do. And then Lord Gauranga appeared to him and told him to go to Navadvip to meet Lord Nityananda and then to go to Vrindavan. So he made an excuse to visit his ancestral home. And when he went to the boat, he said, bring me to Navadvip. And there, at Srivasangam, under a tree, he met Lord Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered his heart. Sri Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. He brought him to the house of Lord Chaitanya. And there he met Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya, who cooked wonderful prasad for him. In many places, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Kirtan with all of his associates before the eyes of Jiva Goswami. Although the Lord had disappeared from the world years before, Nityananda Prabhu blessed him and sent him to Varanasi to study under a great scholar named Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Jiva Goswami studied under him and soon was glorified as the greatest philosopher in all the world. After completing his studies, he went to Vrindavan. He appealed to Sanatan Goswami to give him initiation. But Sanatan Goswami directed him to accept Rupa Goswami as his guru. The Rupa Goswami told him he should purify himself for 1 year. And he had Jiva Goswami doing most menial services. Saraswat Brahman, the greatest philosopher in all the world. But he was massaging his guru's feet, massaging his legs, cleaning his utensils, cleaning his plates. In those days, to write the scriptures, you had to prepare palm leaves. He went out and collected palm leaves and processed them and made the ink out of of different herbs. He would sweep and clean the ashram. In this way, he melted the hearts of all the devotees by his humility and his genuine, simple service attitude. In Krishna consciousness, there's no higher, there's no low, as far as the external form of service. The high and low is the attitude of love in which we offer it. Rupa Goswami personally installed Radha Damodar and worshipped him, and then entrusted that deity to Jiva Goswami. The love between Jiva Goswami and Radha Damodar is a great part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava history. Such a personal relationship. He served the Lord with so much love that the Lord would cry out for his service. He would cry out to Jiva Goswami, "Feed me, I'm hungry." And Jiva Goswami would cook for him with his own hands and then offer him the food. And Jiva Goswami would see Radha Damodar actually with his own hands putting the food in his mouth and eating it. And Jiva Goswami would watch with tears of ecstasy in his eyes. One day Jiva Goswami was doing service and he heard from the altar a flute playing. Mind-enchanting, enticing flute filling the atmosphere. Then he heard Krishna, Damodar, calling out, "Come, come Jiva, come and see me dance." Jiva Goswami ran to the altar and there Damodar was playing his flute and dancing and singing for Jiva Goswami. This is the standard of worship. According to our love, Krishna reveals himself to us. Srila Prabhupada said, if you see the deity as wood or stone, the deity will remain wood or stone forever. But if you worship the deity in a very personal way, as the Lord himself, as Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada said, in due course of time, Krishna will talk to you. Krishna will dance for you. Krishna will play his flute for you. In that place where Radha Damodar temple is, was the meeting place of the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami had his bhajan kutir there. And after he departed from this world, Jiva Goswami personally arranged for his samadhi in that same place. Ugarbha Goswami, his samadhi is also there. As is Jiva Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Radha Damodar temple is in the very heart of Sevakunj, where Sri Sri Radha and Krishna perform their most divine pastimes of the Rasa Leela. It was there that the Goswamis would do kirtan, take prasad, perform their bhajan, and discuss the glories of Radha and Krishna, and share with each other their unlimited gratitude for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami collected the books of the Goswamis, and with the help of the Emperor Akbar, built a library. In fact, it is said that Akbar came to Vrindavan, and being so deeply moved by Jiva Goswami's love and compassion, he arranged for his followers to build the Gopinath temple, Govindaji temple later, and Radha Damodar temple. Srila Prabhupada, he made that his residence in 1959. From his kitchen, every day, he would see the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami. For 6 years, Srila Prabhupada lived in Radha Damodar temple. It was there that he wrote the 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. It was there that he absorbed himself in intense prayer to Jiva Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, to Radha Damodar, to help him to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj, to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. Those rooms in the Radha Damodar temple were so dear to Srila Prabhupada that even when he was living in the New York City, he was very careful to make sure that his rent was being paid and that he was securing those rooms. And he personally ordered the devotees of our movement that I live in those rooms at Radha Damodar forever. Never lose possession of those rooms. A strict order of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. His purports, he explained, are his devotional ecstasies. All of you will have the great fortune of visiting the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami and the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Prabhupada. It was from Radha Damodar that he came to Bombay to prepare for his visit to the West. He told one of his disciples that Rupa Goswami appeared to him personally and blessed him to go to the West and preach in his room in Radha Damodar temple. It is our Father's home. And as his children and grandchildren, it is our home, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lokanath Goswami was the son of Padmanabh Chakravarti and Sita. He was born in the Jessore district of Bangladesh. When he was young, he went to Navadweep to be with Lord Chaitanya. He became a confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. In his heart of hearts, indications were disturbing him very much that Lord Chaitanya would take sannyas and leave Navadweep. He approached Lord Chaitanya with this anxiety, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, in a few days I am going to cut my hair, take a danda and become a sannyasi and wander the world giving out Krishna prema." This was horrible to Lokanath Goswami. He could not bear it. Lord Chaitanya could understand that Lokanath Goswami, he could not possibly live when Lord Chaitanya left to take sannyas. He could not see that. He could not possibly survive seeing the sorrow of Sachi Devi. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "You should go to Vrindavan. And after I take sannyas, I will go to Vrindavan to meet you." Lokanath Goswami took the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went to every Vaishnav in Navadweep and took the dust of their feet and their permission. And along with his friend Gubappu Garba Goswami, they went to Vrindavan. He waited for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the only reason he was there, was to... Lord Chaitanya said, "You prepare for my arrival." That was his only life, to prepare for the Lord's arrival in Vrindavan. But then he heard news that Lord Chaitanya, after taking sannyas, went to Puri. He was waiting. Then the news, he went to South India. Lokanath Goswami, "What am I doing in Vrindavan if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in South India?" He left Vrindavan and walked to South India. When he reached the depths of South India, he heard the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already returned to Puri. He rushed to Puri. When he arrived in Puri, when he was in the outskirts of Puri, he heard the news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan. "Lokanath Goswami, I'm supposed to be there. Meet him. Prepare things for him." He rushed to Vrindavan. He arrived in Vrindavan. He heard the news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here for 2 months. He left Vrindavan. He went to Prayag. He fell down in great distress. He decided, "The next morning I will go to Prayag." But that night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and told him, "You stay in Vrindavan. I will always be with you." Very difficult to follow the order of the Lord. He remained in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Soon Rupa and Sanatana are coming. You should serve me with them." Lokanath Goswami wandered through the 12 forests of Brajbhumi. At one point, he was living in the area of Chatravan, the village of Umrao, in the forest of Kadiravan, on the banks of Kishori Kund. There he had a very deep desire to have a deity to worship. One day, a mysterious personality just walked up to him, gave him a bag, and walked away. The person just disappeared. Who was he? Where did he come from? Why did he come? Lokanath Goswami opened the bag, and there were deities. He didn't know what to do. He had no home. He had no food. He had nothing. He was just wandering through the forest. but he longed to have a deity. So Lokanath Goswami was very bewildered. Who was that person? What happened? Then the deity spoke. He said, "My name is Radha Vinod. And I personally came to you without the assistance of anyone else, just to accept your worship. I have been waiting for your love and devotion for a long time. Now please cook for me." So Lokanath Goswami went and gathered whatever he could gather and cooked bhoga and offered it to the Lord with great happiness. And then the Lord was offered arti. And Lokanath Goswami made a bed out of flowers and laid Radha Vinod in the flower bed and massaged his feet and massaged his legs. Then he went and made a fan out of peacock feathers and was fanning the Lord. He put the Lord to rest. He sang for the Lord. Then he begged and got some cloth, and with his own hands he sewed a bag and put Radha Vinod in that bag and carried around his neck wherever he went. In the village of Umrao, the villagers all came and said, "You have such beautiful deities, let us make a temple for them." He said, no temple, too much difficulty. Just worship them in the bag. In this way he lived at the banks of Kishori Kund until Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis called for him, "Come and live with us in Vrindavan." And then he came and he worshipped in the place that is now the Radha Gokulananda temple. Also in that temple is the deity of Radha Gokulananda, worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was born in the Nadia district in the village of Devagram. He was married at a very, very young age, but really had no interest in anything except devotional service to Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur had a disciple named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He was in a very exalted Brahmin that literally shook the entire Brahmin community when he accepted initiation from Narottam, who they all considered a Kayasta or a Sudra. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti . He had only a daughter, no son. But one of his disciples, Krishna Sharan Chakravarti, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, he cared for this disciple just like his own son. There was such intimacy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur became the student of Krishna Sharan. But Krishna Sharan was very old. So he directed Vishwanath to take initiation from Radharaman Chakravarti, his disciple, which he did. He gave his life, his soul, his everything to serve his guru. He had such a taste for the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained how he would be so absorbed reading Srimad Bhagavatam, even in the middle of a field in the summer, but there would always be a cloud between him and the sun, so the sun would never touch him. And one day he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and a king of the local district was on a procession in a palanquin being carried. Suddenly there was a torrential monsoon rainstorm, and the king and all of his servants were just being pounded by these winds and by this storm. They were running, and they happened to see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sitting reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was a little circle around him, and not a drop of water went into that circle. The king, seeing that, fell at his feet and surrendered to him and became his disciple. This was the power of his absorption in Srimad Bhagavatam and how Krishna would reciprocate. Later on, his in-laws complained to his guru that he got married and he doesn't, years and years ago, and he doesn't pay any attention to. He should come back, at least for one night, and see his wife. So his guru said, you should go back, at least for one night. And everyone's thinking, if he's with his wife for one night, then naturally, spending a night with her, they will become attached to each other. So he spent the whole night giving Srimad Bhagavatam class to her. And she became so enlightened and detached, she just blessed him to go to his guru's ashram. That's the power of his explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And his guru said, all right, now you go to Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan town. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came to Vrindavan, Vrindavan was a pitiful condition. Previously, Aurangzeb, the Mughal conqueror, had already destroyed temples, slaughtered, murdered many devotees, broke deities. He created havoc. Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Gopinath, Radha Damodar, Radha Vinod, Jayadevs, Radha Madhava, Krishnadas Kaviraj's Radha Vrindavan Chandra. They were all sent to Jaipur for protection. For some time they were hidden in Radhakund. Then for some time they were hidden in Kamyavan. And then they were going to leave Braja for Jaipur. But the deity of Brinda Devi was put on an ox cart, and the cart would not move. No matter how much they pulled or pushed, it would not move. And then Brinda Devi appeared to the pujari and said, Govinda Devi is the Lord of the universe, but my service is only in Vrindavan. I am the Ishwari of Vrindavan. Keep me here. I will never leave Vrindavan. So from that time, the Brinda Devi Murti is in Kamyavan. Can you imagine these Mughal soldiers pervading Vrindavan for years and years and years, not allowing worship, killing, breaking temples? Devotees were demoralized. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came at that time. But he was so fearless and so empowered with compassion and love that he preached. He preached so powerfully that he revived the enthusiasm, the love, and the devotion of all the people of Vrindavan. Through his influence, bhakti thrived, flourished all over Vrindavan Dham. One day, a brahmachari came to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with a small deity named Gokulananda. And he said that Gokulananda appeared to me and wants me to give him to you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that I'm just a mendicant. I have no wealth. I have no home. How will I worship him? I cannot accept him. Brahmachari left. Gokulananda appeared to the Brahmachari again and said, bring him back. Bring me back. I want Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to offer me his love and devotion. But he already rejected. He said, bring him again. He will change his mind. So Gokulananda appeared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and said, whatever you offer me, I will accept. So when the Brahmachari came, he presented Gokulananda. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur worshipped him for the rest of his life as his life and his soul. He is proclaimed to be our Rasacharya. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya have great faith in the truth that Sri Rupa Goswami personally expanded himself within the heart of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and empowered his purports and empowered the example of his life to reveal the highest truths of Sri Vrindavan Dham. One time, some thieves wanted to kill him. Actually, they were smarter, but they were Brahmins who couldn't tolerate his pure teachings. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was teaching Parakiya Ras, and they just could not tolerate it. But he was so influential and so powerful, they decided they would kill him. So every day he would go to a certain place to collect flowers to do his worship. So they waited with weapons. But he didn't come. Suddenly they saw this little, beautiful little girl picking flowers. And she revealed to him, to them, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's glories. How? All of a sudden she disappeared and she manifested the form of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And all of these envious people realized that that was his eternal spiritual form in the spiritual world. He showed us out of his causeless mercy. And they surrendered to him. And he gave a simple logical argument. He said, Krishna lives in Nandagram and Radharani lives in Barsana. If they're married, why do they meet in Sanket, which is situated in between? Please tell me, what is the significance of Sanket if Radha and Krishna are married? And the Brahmins fell at his feet and accepted, yes, Parakiya Ras is the highest truth of Braj. You will see that deity at Radha Gokulananda temple. And there you will also see a deity of Lord Chaitanya, which was personally worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. And also the deity of Vijay Govinda, worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhushan. In Galta, near Jaipur, there was a great debate between the Ramanandis and the Gaudiya Sampradaya. the devotees there were feeling great pain because the king was a great Vaishnav who worshipped Radha Govinda Dev. But an opposing sampradaya tried to convince the king that the Gaudiya Sampradaya was not bona fide. And therefore, they had him remove Srimati Radharani from the altar. So the king told Gaudiya Vaishnavas, if you can prove to these Ramanandis, sannyasis and scholars that you are a bona fide sampradaya, then we could bring Radharani back and worship. But they were powerful philosophers, so they wrote to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and explained the situation. But he was too old, so he sent Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan took initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya, but then in Puri, he met a Radha Damodar Goswami and became a devotee of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And came to Vrindavan and became the favorite student of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was sent there. He was able to defeat all of their arguments. But ultimately, they came to the point where they said, we cannot accept Gaudiya Sampradaya unless Lord Chaitanya's followers have their own commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Now, Lord Chaitanya taught that Srimad Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva's commentary. Therefore, all of our acharyas have made their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. So he went to Govindaji temple and prayed to Govinda. Actually, Baladev Vidyabhushan said, okay, I will write a commentary. It takes years and years and years to write a commentary. You're going to write a commentary? Yes, I will write it. He went to Govinda temple and prayed to Govinda, please save the integrity of our sampradaya. And Govinda Dev dictated his own commentary of the Brahma Sutra, written by Baladev. And when he presented it, the Ramanandis surrendered. And Srimati Radharani was brought back on the altar of Govinda Dev, and the Gaudiya Vaishnav once again could worship them to their heart's contents. Sri Radha Govinda Dev ki jai. And also in that temple is the Shalagram Shila. The history of that Shila is very deep. One sannyasi came from Vrindavan and gave that Shila to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a gift. Lord Chaitanya kept that Shalagram Shila with him at all times. When he was in the ecstasy of Radharani's love for Krishna, sometimes he would press that Shalagram, or that Govardhan Shila. It was a Govardhan Shila. Would press that Govardhan Shila to his heart. Would press the Giriraj to his forehead. Sri Giriraj Shila was constantly moistened by the tears of the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He worshipped him for many years. Seeing the pure love and devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami, he presented as a gift of love that Govardhan Shila as well as a Gunjamala. And Raghunath Das Goswami thought in his heart, by giving me the Govardhan Shila, Lord Chaitanya has given me eternal residence at Govardhan Hill. And by giving me the Gunja Mala, he has given me eternal servants to Srimati Radharani. Sometimes when Lord Chaitanya was in so much ecstasy of Radharani's love, he would press the Shila with his fingers and the Shila Giriraj would melt. Even today, in Sri Giriraj Shila, one can see the thumbprint of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan after the departure of Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar Goswami. It was unbearable for him to live in the absence of his Lord. He decided to climb to the top of Govardhan Hill and jump to take his life. But first, he went to seek the blessings of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They forbade him to take his life. You remain here with us, and every day recite the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you have witnessed or you have heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami. For the pleasure of Rupa and Sanatana Raghunath Das Goswami, lived many years on the banks of Radhakund. You will find that Govardhan Shiva in the Radha Gokulananda temple. These are just a few of the places you will visit. There's the Radha Shamsundar temple. But if I don't stop, you will not have any time to go anywhere. So I think I should stop here. Radha Shamsundar. I will try to be concise. Duki Krishna was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya in Orissa, near Ambika Kalna. Hriday Chaitanya was a disciple of Gauri Das Pandit, who was Subal in Krishna's Leela, and an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas were so intimate amongst each other. Hriday Chaitanya sent his disciple Duki Krishna to Vrindavan to study the scriptures under Jiva Goswami. At the same time, Narottam Das Thakur was sent by his Gurudev Lokanath Goswami, and Srinivasacharya was sent by his guru Srinivasacharya. The three of them became intimate brothers in the loving mission of Lord Gauranga. Duki Krishna's service was to sweep the Nidubhan and the Seva Kunj practically all day, every day. He would just be on his hands and knees with a sweeper, sweeping, 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 covered with dust, sweeping, sweeping, covered with dust. Grateful as anything to have this menial service to the Vaishnavas in Brajbhumi. That menial service attitude attracts Srimati Radharani if it is done with sincere motivation. One day as he was sweeping, he found a beautiful anklet in the dust under a bush. When he picked it up, he began to tremble. He understood this is not something ordinary. It was Srimati Radharani's anklet. Srimati Radharani in the aprakata lila, the lila that cannot be seen with the eyes, that could only be seen when Radharani and Krishna reveal to the devotee. Please understand, right now, here in Ramanreti, as we're sitting, the cows are eating grass amongst us. Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys are playing. Srimati Radharani is collecting flowers. Everything's happening. Why can't we see? It's not important that we see. What's important is we believe. We see so many things. What is important is our heart, not our eyes. We can see through hearing. As we're hearing these pastimes, they are factually being manifested in our hearts, if we are receptive. So she asked Lalita, find my anklet. Lalita Sakhi approached Duki Krishna. Did you find an anklet? He said, yes, I did. He said, please give it to me. He said, whose is it? My sister's. I will give it to your sister. There are different versions of the story. But one version is by the mercy of Lalita Sakhi. Duki Krishna was transformed into his eternal form as Kanaka Manjari and was brought to Srimati Radharani in the grove of Sri Braj. She was sitting on a throne and Duki Krishna offered her the anklet. And Radharani was so pleased. She blessed him. She took that anklet and lovingly pressed it to his forehead. And it created a tilak. Different kind of tilak. And she gave him the name Shyamananda. Shyama is Radha. One who gives pleasure to Srimati Radharani. So then Lalita Sakhi took her out of the grove and he resumed his form of Duki Krishna. And he returned to the Vaishnavas and they saw this tilak. They criticized him. What is this tilak? Why are you speculating? But Radharani promised him, he promised Radharani he would not tell anyone what happened. So he was being criticized. You know how devotees could be about unbona fide things. But then Srimati Radharani appeared to Jiva Goswami and explained to him everything. And then Jiva Goswami, on behalf of Sri Radharani, gave him the name Shyamananda Goswami. And Radharani also gave him a deity of Shamsundar. And when you go to Radha Shamsundar temple, you will see a small deity on the right side of Shamsundar. That's the original deity that Srimati Radharani gave to Shyamananda Goswami. And the large deity is Radha Shamsundar that was worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And just across the street is the place where Srimati Radharani put the tilak and gave the name Shyamananda to her devotee. These are some of the places you will be visiting today. Perhaps you will also go to Bamsibat and Gopeshwar Mahadev at Davanala Kund and Akrura Ghat and Baital, Kaliya Ghat. Vrindavan is unlimited. But even if we can go to one place, and for even one second, we can offer a sincere prayer and chant the holy name with a genuine intent for pure devotional service, we can attain the perfection of life. So it is my request that everyone please be grateful. A grateful heart is a heart that is soft to receive the seed of bhakti. And a heart where the seed of bhakti could grow and flourish. and with all intensity, all devotion and emotion, cry out Krishna's names. Take shelter of Krishna Katha and pray for your heart of hearts. Nadananna jananda sundarim kavitam vajagatisha kamaye mama janmanu janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rohaita kithvai. I do not want wealth or the pleasures of the opposite sex or even fame or followers or even liberation from suffering. I only want your unconditional service, birth after birth after birth. And with this prayer, let us also pray for our beloved Srila Jayapatak Swami Maharaj. Welcome to Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Dhaksham Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Gaura Nithai ki jai, Gaur Premanande.